Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Beth, who is here to speak with us about yoga and awareness practice. Welcome, Beth.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you.
Yay.
On tonight and in general, because I was just looking at how, you know, one of the huge benefits of Center having opened in Mountain View is that many folks in Sangha now have much more regular and direct access to having yoga be part of their awareness practice. And you are one of the talented folks who is generously sharing your experience and expertise in that field by offering yoga at Center. So we thought it would be really fun to talk about that tonight, to talk about yoga and awareness practice.
Oh, man, one of my favorite topics ever.
I bet. We've got 9 minutes, Beth.
Okay.
It's a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big topic, and it's a place where the two practices meet perfectly for me.
Yeah.
You know, in doing yoga, the first thing that happens, I think, in a yoga class is that you're doing so many new things that your body, you know, especially if you're new to yoga, has never done before. Like, oh my gosh, what's triangle or what's warrior two or what's that? And so your attention has to be on that. Like there's, I mean, if you want to, you know, if you're really endeavoring to do it in that sense. So for me, when I first came to yoga, it was the place where my attention was so wholly on what I was doing in the moment that when I walked out, I kept going, God, it feels so good. But it wasn't the good of like a physical, you know, working out at the gym sort of thing, which usually I walked out exhausted and sore. But here, it was much more of that place of, wow, you know, I feel good and I don't understand why. And that started me on my whole journey of looking at what the connection between the mind and body was.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh, that is so beautifully laid out. And I, as you were saying that, I saw something that I've just never seen before. So that experience of getting really doing something that you're not used to doing at all, you know, putting your body in positions that aren't usual to you, really calls you to attention, calls you to the present moment. And I just thought, as you described that, that I know for me, going to a new country is, I love it for that same reason. And so I just had this image as we're talking that there's a way in which being led in a yoga class is really having the opportunity to explore one's own body, one's own being, as if it's that foreign country that I don't know, because really we don't. We pay so little attention to it usually that it's such an invitation to actually get to inhabit our own experience.
Yeah, talk about a new land. I mean, and it's right here.
Exactly.
And free. And
free. Available all the time. You don't have to even
have to go anywhere. Available anytime you want to go. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think, you know, when I found practice, I was teaching yoga pretty regularly, and I was using a lot of yoga sutras, the cessation, the restraint of the mind, modifications of the mind stuff, and we call them whirlwinds, thought whirlwinds. And, you know, coming to practice, it was really that idea of, oh, my God, those are the stories. You know, that's the story conditioning wants to swirl around me to keep me up in my head. And I think what yoga also does is because it brings you into your body, it becomes easier to sometimes, I think, to drop those stories and to get out of the head so that you really are experiencing something tangible. You know, you can feel your feet on the floor. You can, you know, when you're over in certain positions, you've got hands on your legs or arms or something like that. But you have something that, you know, is very concrete, I guess.
Yes. But right, because as we often talk about in practice, the body is in the present. There's nowhere else for the body to be. So if we want be in the present, that's such a good point, that learning to inhabit it and actually feel the sensation, you know, feel as something as simple as feeling my feet on the floor. You know, it seems so will mean what? But how often do we not feel our feet on the floor? Most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think, again, the way that yoga is being presented here at Center is like another practice tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is another way to do practice because we're not focused here on, how many sun salutations you do or how flexible you are or, can you go up in a headstand? It has nothing to do with that. All it has to do with is, can you be where you are now? Are you here? And that's the kind of cues that I like to bring to the yoga classes of just noticing, just keep noticing where you are.
And Beth, as you described that, yes, we could do our own yoga practice, and I think many of us do, do some yoga on our own. But there is something to having a led experience, especially by someone who is doing this practice. Because as you say, to have it presented as a practice tool, as another tool of awareness, as another tool to assist us in being here, in being in our own experience, it reminds me a bit of when we do, say, email classes on the Enneagram. It's not that we become, quote, students of the Enneagram, right, and start getting in-depth research in the Enneagram and the this and the that, right? But we're using it as a tool to assist us, and yoga is such a beautiful and elegant tool to assist us, really.
Yes, exactly. It's not about becoming an expert. I love the way you said that. It's not about, running home and learning how to do the perfect, warrior two or anything like that. It literally is, this afternoon I may not have time to, do something else, or more likely I have an extra, hour. I would love to practice in this way, And the benefit that it gives the body, I think that's the little bonus with it, is that you really do, the body really appreciates it afterwards, whether it's, stretching or going through the joint pain series where you're just paying attention to every joint in the body and really giving its full expression and its full range of motion. And probably the one I like the most, to be honest, is the restorative yoga. Because it is so kind to the body to allow relaxation and regeneration and rejuvenation for the body.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going right there as you're describing it. And, it's like part of me doesn't want to say too much about it because a lot of times we'll do that, on the weekends, the practice weekends here at the monastery. And I know there are a lot of people who it's not practical for them to get to a practice weekend here. So I don't want to make them too jealous, but I will. That restorative yoga is, there's something just, that's a unique practice opportunity, a unique practice tool. It's so, so beautiful. So I don't know. It'll be fun. We'll have to think of a way to get that available to the whole sangha. I'm sure there's some way, but absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and we started this in September with a Friday night restorative yoga followed by meditation, and I did it for the first time this past Friday night, and the way it relieve all the tension of the week and prepare me for, this very relaxing weekend, it was like I would have been at a spa for the evening. It just was so, it just answered, is the only way I can say it. It was great.
Yeah, and we do have one more minute. I just think it's neat. What I remember you talking about with the restorative yoga is that the kind of principle behind it is to put the body, well, maybe you can say it, to put the body in a position where...
To put the body supported in a yoga position so that there's no effort being put forth whatsoever. The body gets to completely relax, and that's when healing happens. There's a story of somebody who worked with a chronically in pain patient, and they put them in different positions, and they kept adding support till finally the person looked at him and said, burst out into tears. I'm actually not in pain anymore.
Wow.
And that was actually when the healing started.
Wow. Well, and you know what just dropped in, Beth, was it's the physical manifestation of one of the central teachings of our practice, which is practice begins when self-hate ends.
That's exactly what came to my mind when I
said, really?
Yeah, that was exactly where I was going to go. I'm so glad you said that.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
As it is, it's the same principle, isn't it? But the body can actually, the whole being can actually begin to take life in when it's no longer in that tension.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we definitely now have to find a way to bring into the whole Sangha.
Yes. I'm on board.
Mm. Okay. Well, Beth, we are at the end of our time. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just said great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. And
thank you. Thank you. That was really fun. All right.
Yes.
Thanks, Beth.
All right. Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Beth. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Sherry.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Let's go to center and do some restorative yoga.
I was just going to ask you if you were doing restorative yoga while listening to Beth and Jen talk.
Actually had one opportunity to participate in that, and it is everything that they were saying. It's truly astonishing.
In fact,
when they were talking, I thought maybe we should just have a restorative yoga retreat. We would just meditate and do restorative yoga. Meditate and do restorative yoga.
Wow.
You know, cook a little, but cook a little and eat a little. Would that be good? That sounds like such a fabulous wintertime event.
Yeah, I'm seeing it at the New Year's retreat now. Yes.
Yep.
I have announcements here.
I knew it.
Yes, I do. A new September schedule has been posted for Center in the Bay Area. There are more yoga classes, along with additional meditation times midday and in the evening. The schedule can be found at center.livingcompassion.org. Yes. And once again, we have the opportunity to practice tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Fall Retreat, October 3rd through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary.
Now that's a place, Michael, where we might just run into some of that yoga that was being talked about. Not sure, but just maybe.
Sangha will gather Saturday, October 14th in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled community experience. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org. And a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies is coming up in mid-October. This program is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. Recording and listening is not just for grown-ups. Youngsters have reported feeling happier, calmer, kinder, and more relaxed using this fabulous practice tool. A fun and transformative parent-child recording and listening class is starting October 23rd. Celebrate 2017 and start the next year with Sangha at the New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds. For these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right.
Yes.
Plenty of fun for all.
Lots of fun. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1. That's a way to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes long is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Sri Devi.
Hello, Sri Devi.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. And you feeling all better?
All better. The cough is almost completely gone. It shows up a little bit every now and then, but it's almost completely gone.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
That's no fun, especially when you have to miss a retreat. Oh. It's really no fun, huh?
It really was not, but, you know, but I'm glad I get to talk with you now.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Yeah, so I have been looking at something, and I saw something today that dropped in, and I wanted to get some guidance around, because I have a suspicion about it, but so I'll share it. So as you may know, I have a partner who's a divorced single father, and mm-hmm. we are at kind of a place where we're deciding if we're going to make a major move together in life, and I watched myself feel very sure at one point and then completely go into utter panic and fear at another point. So I've been mm-hmm. looking at this, and it's been very interesting because something that's been coming up is around having a child with him in which he doesn't want to have, and I watched really, really, really big energy around it that keeps coming back. And today he sent me a text message just saying, I know I can't give you what you want. And I think it was the best thing that he could have said to me because I saw that and I was, is that really what I want? The baby? Like, what is it really that's happening here? And as I was sitting with that, I think what I saw or I'm seeing is there is this sense that he already has this family that he has already built with somebody else and this community that's their shared community and this house that they had bought together. And I am stepping into somebody else's family, and the story is I'm always going to be an outsider, right? This will never really be mine. And I watch this thing that just keeps going, I want something that's mine. I want something that I can get behind. And when I heard that story, I went, okay, that sounds like conditioning, I think. I don't know what that's about. So I thought I would call and get some guidance on maybe how to look at what that's about.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so I want something that's mine. Have you tried the two-handed recording with that person?
Well, it's funny. Just as it dropped in today, I was like, I really have to do a two-handed recording around this, but I have not yet tried it, no.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because that's such a It's such a tricky place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That response that you have could be coming from karma, from conditioning, and it could be there. I guess we would say there are probably degrees of that, right? There's the ego response that or reaction that just basically wants to ruin things. It's always going to be unhappy with anything that's going on, and then there's that place that we talk about where the person is an alcoholic and conditioning says, well, but if you're really practicing, you should be able to work in a bar. You should be able to be a bartender, or you should be able to open a liquor store. That shouldn't, you know, and that kind of contest that ego wants to put us in so that we're really set up to be in a situation that it's kind of like if you're the Buddha, you could make it work. And probably for the rest of us, it's pretty much going to be a recipe for misery. Because conditioning is going to make sure that that the way it set it up is going to end in suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's I think that's the juncture you've reached, right? Which is it? Is it really that I just don't want that? You know, I could be happy living in, I'm not going to name a place because somebody will live there and hear this show and be offended. So I just, you know, this place that actually, it's kind of the last place in the world that I would ever choose to live. And so conditioning would want to set it up that, oh, well, sure, go ahead, take that job in that place because it'll be fine. There's so much about it that you like, that you want, and you'll just work with the rest of it. But why would I want to do that to myself?
Yeah, and I was actually looking at this with my Zen coach of this story of if I could just, where I was getting to and starting as we start exploring this a little bit more is, if I could just be the kind of person who would be okay with this, would be okay with that, I got to be that person, like you said, like who could just be okay with it all. And so there was
that person doesn't have to be Sri Devi right now.
Yeah, right. And then we were looking at, well, if what is this feeling I'm going for? So what do I think I'm going to have if I do get the baby, if I do get the this, if this were, and it's, of course, like, I think I would be happy. And so one of my exercises is to just focus on being happy and make recordings about things that make me happy to separate happiness from a piece of content. And so as I was doing that today, I was starting to see that, and that's how this kind of all started dropping in after I got the text message, I'd done the recording. I was like, there's something going on here, and I'm not sure, to your point, what really it is and where it's really going. But it is this really interesting place to be, and that's why I'm like, I'm very suspicious of it. I'm very suspicious
of it. Well, yes, because... you know, he could say, you're right. That's just silly of me. That's, you know, family, and they will always be important to me, and I would like to have a family with you. And so you have a couple of kids, and it turns out that you are just unutterably miserable.
Yes, yes.
That happens to people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, and as I was looking at it from a process level, I know that's not true. It's not, I will get this thing and be happy. Because I went through this exact same process around the job. I was just like, if I could just get this job because of the current situation so much, I know I'm going to be happy. And I was watching it as it happened, and I remember thinking, ooh, I'm going to see how this happens. And because I don't think that's really is the way it's going to go. And it exactly is what happened. I got the job. And right there, conditioning has been there. So I'm like, okay, I know it's not that. So I guess, yeah, maybe it's doing some two-handed recording exercises and just kind of spend some time trying to really look at what is this kind of juncture.
And the place that we're closing in on is, as we've agreed, we do not know. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet somebody tomorrow just sweeps you off your feet, as they used to say. You think, oh, this is it. You get married. You have those couple of kids. You can't stand it. You hate everything about it. You're with this fellow. You decide, okay, no more, I'm not going to have kids with him because he doesn't want kids. And what I'm going to do is learn to be happy in this situation because this is what I want. And it may turn out that that's not what you want.
Yeah.
So we don't know. So number one, we don't know. Number two, as far as I can tell, all of this is an opportunity to see how suffering happens.
Yeah.
How our beliefs and assumptions wind up in suffering. How being present to whatever unfolds for us in life is the way to joy.
Yeah.
Which is also not passive, is it?
Yeah.
So it's not sitting on the couch saying, well, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. It's not that either.
Yeah. Yeah, and that belief thing is really powerful because I started seeing it just in even more of the, well, it's never going to be my family. It's always going to be somebody else's family. Or I'm always going to be on the outside, or I'll never be able to be as comfortable with it. And I was like, well, how do I know any of that?
If I believe that, I can be pretty sure it's going to be true.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I believe I'm always going to be an outsider, I'm never going to be happy, well, then I can be pretty sure that that's what I'm going to get.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting. Work to be done. And, of course, conditioning wants us to believe that you have to have this figured out by the middle of next week.
Yes.
Right. And, of course, you don't. You absolutely do not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's,
all right.
That's a very helpful reminder, so thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Keep in touch.
I will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. Sherry, what I heard in that conversation is turning to practice with the, whatever content is up for me. And it's just so impressive to me when Sangha show up with whatever content and turn to practice for, quote, solution, unquote. I mean, it's great.
Yes, it really is. To look at it from the perspective of, this is an opportunity for me to end suffering. It's not about figuring things out and getting the right answer and knowing and being sure and getting guarantees. It's not about any of that. It's ending suffering, making our way through suffering to freedom.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico. Hi. So,
how you doing?
God, well, I'm vertical and ventilating. That's pretty good, I'll tell you.
Well, that's
no,
great.
Really, the pulmonologist says that's as good as it gets right now. So.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Anyway, I'm so grateful. This radio show has been a lifeline for me. Truly, truly, truly. And several times I wanted to go to the center to see you and visit, and my body just isn't up to driving. So I listen to the radio show and the recording and listening, and the sitting practice has been just truly, truly, truly the they talk about the make or break. This has been it for me. So, but the central part of my call is, it's taken me a long time. I first met you, Sherry, God, I think it's 14 years ago.
Wow.
And you were talking about there's nothing wrong with me at a bookstore in San Rafael. And so then, I don't know, a month later, I end up at the monastery doing the retreat by that name. And I'll tell you, it's only until very, very recently, truly recently, that that experience, that has been my experience. There's nothing wrong
uh-huh.
with me.
Uh-huh.
It's taken, I mean, the years and years and years of teachers and family and parents and wives and girlfriends and kids telling me otherwise, hundreds of times.
Mm.
And to truly, truly, truly live from that place is the great, great, great Dharma treasure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it takes what it takes for us to get here, doesn't it?
Boy. Yeah. And everybody else is okay just as they are. I might want to sidestep some of their anger or venom, but when there's nothing wrong with me, living compassion arises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I'm taking this, I've been housebound for nearly 5 months, and it's taken that kind of inactivity for this realization to permeate the resistance.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So
when we look at
say,
it takes what it takes, you are no stranger to that wisdom, are you?
It takes what it takes. So
yeah.
I'm just so grateful, and it was kind of. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just what I was looking at as you were talking is, I often think about people who are going through really hard, painful places, and they don't have any practice to support them. So for us who have a practice to support us going through the difficult, painful places of life, which we are all likely to do, we've done, we will do, we will continue as long as we're here in form, to have practice, to be able to get to the place where you know inside the marrow of your bones that there's nothing wrong with you and that there's nothing wrong. That's everything, as far as I can tell.
I hear the like this kind of, it's kind of like an echo it's of conditioning one and two, say, well, you know, if you weren't such a hard head, it wouldn't take in 15 years. And then I say, that's baloney. Like, I don't believe that at all.
It's baloney.
It just takes what it takes. And,
it takes what it takes.
It's really softened me. True. I mean, it's like it's. And the daily recollection isn't just, you know, a bunch of beads I wear. No, really.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And
that's such a great image for all of it. You know, we start out in practice and we got our ideas and our opinions and our judgments and our philosophies, and we pay lip service to, well, maybe I don't know or I could be wrong, but we don't believe it. And then we just take step after step down the path. And, what seemed not that important, we realize is vital. And what we weren't paying attention to is really, you know, where most of the good stuff lives. And,
And it's good. The other aspect of it is, you know, we've heard but when people are having an argument or discussion, they say, well, I'm convinced of this. And I got to tell you, that degree of conviction, insistence, mm-hmm. that I know mm-hmm. has softened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it might be so. It feels like it's so, but...
Mm-hmm. So much of it just doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
I could be right, but so what? You know, cliche, you know, would you rather be right or happy? Would you rather be right or free? I pick happy and free.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we can be with you, Rico. Thanks for letting us know.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Huh? Thank you,
Michael. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Take care. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. Sherry, that's such a profound message of getting it in the marrow of our bones that there's nothing wrong with me and nothing wrong. And it's just, I mean, you've said that a trillion times. And that's what I was getting out of your conversation with Rico, the importance of that and the dedication of practice that allows us to get to that place.
Yeah, yeah. And even getting it, that's what we want to do often is not an easy step for people to take.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So we go along. Ashwini and I were talking recently. I'm going to do a little newsletter thing on this coming up, and then a workshop at Center, 1st of October, on this very subject of kind of packing, right? So if we were sailing through life, we would realize that we're always tacking. And so we go in this direction, and then we go in this direction, we go in this direction, we go in this direction, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And most of us experience it as great enthusiasm, not so much. Really love this, feel grateful right here, really gone, could care less. Don't want to. And if we stay with it, if we don't believe what the voices are telling us that means, so, you know, if you're flying, the same thing, right? So you're going to go from San Francisco to New York, and the plane is tacking the whole way. It's not going in a straight line. But, you know, the pilot goes off to the left and then says, oh, what the heck? Who cares? It just keeps going off to the left, right? Well, it might be a problem. It might not be a problem. But what we know is that probably wouldn't get to New York. And that's the same with practice.
Yeah.
If we want peace and freedom, if that's what we want, we need to stay on a trajectory that's going to take us to peace and freedom. And sometimes we're really excited and enthused about it, and sometimes not so much. But it doesn't mean... that we don't keep going. It doesn't mean that we quit. And if we don't, then, you know, of course, Rico says it takes 15 years. Well, you know, that's nothing. Big picture, 15 years, you know, that's no time at all. And so we just keep going. We enjoy the process. We enjoy the transformation. We enjoy what we could actually call progress, in the sense that we get closer
yes.
and closer to having it as our experience that there's nothing wrong.
Yes, yes. And as you were talking about on Project Joy,
that becomes our default orientation more often.
Yes. 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 Yep.
Yes.
And we can see it, right? There's probably nobody who will ever listen to this conversation that doesn't know what we mean. I don't care if you found practice 3 months ago, right? There's already been enough of a transformation that you can see it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow. That's big.
Yep. That's good. Who's next? I mean, what
next
now?
Great question. What now is that we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we will be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. I lost you there for a second, Sherry. And then
I was going to say, Michael, are you
there? Are you there? Here we are. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Whoops,
next
now we
caller.
Lost them.
There.
Hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Hey, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. I just feel like I have been everywhere. And so being on the call today, I was able to move something around and get on, and I've just been sitting here and just being here. It's just so lovely. And so I had the opportunity today to do a recording and listening exercise where I wrote a letter to a part of myself. Or an mm-hmm. aspect right and of me, and so I chose to write a letter to the practitioner, and what I really saw was that she needs support in just getting back to basics, and so one of the quotes. Language and, you know, the best language to use. But so one of the things I've been noticing in these last couple of weeks is I have been really tired. It feels like bone tired. I could fall asleep right in the afternoon. And so it's like trying to be curious about what's going on and, you know, all of that. And so one of the things that I'm curious about is, you know, how much I'm listening to conversations in the head that might be exhausting the human. It's just not normal for me to be exhausted. And just trying to stay out of conversations about it. And so when this dropped in about like getting back to basics to support the practitioner, you know, it just seemed really kind.
Mm-hmm. And, do you feel, are you saying that you can't see any cause for the exhaustion? Is that?
Yeah, I can't. The only other
you're
thing
not anemic,
is, you know,
or you're not. You don't have mono. Or
I haven't been tested, but I don't think so. Nothing is going on in my life. The only thing that's kind of new is you know, within the last 2 years is, you know, the lovely life stage of menopause. And I don't know anything about menopause. This is my only experience, so I don't have any reference. And so but I realize that I have a tendency to go, 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 and not really take care of, right? And so just looking at, well, yeah. So it's like watching, like, do I get enough sleep? Is it okay to take a nap? Or, right, there's a story around, oh, only old people take naps. Like, I don't take naps.
Now you're in menopause, like, you're getting dangerously close to being one of those old people. This is scary stuff.
Right? So there's that. I think that there's an identity there around who, quote, I am. And so I'm in a place where I'm ignoring and I'm identified. And so I've been forgetting stuff. I make commitments. The heart wants to be there. And I remember the next day, like, and it's happening everywhere. And I'm just like, okay, like, so that kind of, okay, slow down, get back to basics.
And what would that look like, Laura? What would getting back to basics look like?
So my meditation time has gotten, like, messed with, right? So it's either it's inconsistent and it gets cut short, right? Because it's not getting prioritized. I'm multitasking, right? I eat, quote, under the umbrella. Scattered, totally. And I see that I'm practicing scatteredness.
So you're doing one thing and the voices are talking to you about this other thing that you're not doing or that you should do or that you need to be doing next, or you could do it now while you're doing this.
I'm seeing it and it's sometimes I'm completely gone. Right. And then other times I can see it and I swear seconds later, I feel like I'm unconscious. And then I see it and then the voices get me around like, okay, you have been around practice like a long time now. What the heck? I feel like I'm more involved in practice than ever. And yet I feel so toddlerish.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think it might be a case of going farther and faring worse? Are you increasingly aware of the ways that you have been unaware of in the past?
That's kind of what it feels like. I feel like I'm seeing all of these ways. Like, I feel like there was this pseudo-confidence I used to have, but I didn't really realize how unconscious I was. And I'm missing the pseudo-confidence, right? And I've never really talked about it that way, but it's like, I feel like there was, you know, a few years ago, I felt, oh my gosh, practice is working and I'm doing such a great job and right, all of this stuff. And I look back and go, gosh, what happened? But I'm seeing all of these ways in which I feel like I make choices from the good, right person place to be. And it's exhausting.
So that's another element of it, right? Making choices from the good, right person thing to be. And do you feel like in the past when there was that pseudo-confidence, you were also coming from that place and it was exhausting, but perhaps you just didn't notice it?
I don't know.
Have you always been somebody who takes on more than they can do?
So my husband would say a wholehearted yes. And I would say I love participating. It's really fun. I really love it. And I tend to say yes to things. And then when it gets a little tricky or it gets a little uncomfortable, that's, I feel like, when I get hijacked. And so then I'm left with a lot of things I've said yes to But then the person who said yes doesn't get supported in completing.
Yes. Or the person, you know, sometimes this kind of thing is the case. So I'll use a different example. So there's somebody who just loves to get jobs. You know, is really good at the interview, has a great resume, just, you know, shows up really well. But that's what that person likes to do. That's not the same as the person wants to do the job. So then the person who really likes to get jobs gets the job, goes off, because that's not their thing to do the job. And the person who's left showing up for work didn't necessarily have any say in it at all.
Mm.
So if there's a, you know, I'm going to be the good, right person, and part of that is saying yes to everything that comes along, then I say yes, but then I'm just looking for the next thing to say yes to.
Mm.
I'm not going to stay around and do whatever it was that I just said yes to doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it feels like something's really there just because it gets fuzzy, and it's just it's this place, and it's just this karmic place where suffering happens, and so, yeah, it's
okay. So yeah, what you started out with is, it feels like what you need to do to reel this in is get back to basics. So karma has kind of grabbed you, dragged you out there. you'd love to participate. It's really fun. You like to say yes to things. You want to be the good, right person. And when that's in the hands of karma instead of coming from center, then a person can get into a lot of trouble. Right? So what you want to do now is reel it in, get back to basics, get back to what really takes care of you. And, you know, an interesting part of that is little kids take naps and old people take naps. and the only people who aren't supposed to are the people who think there's something more important than being with one's experience. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's resonating. Yeah.
So
it's not like the next.
And just, Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's not like the next right thing then is to take a nap every day. It's that listening to right life, like listening, tuning in, being present.
Yes. And also, there is a certain argument to be made for having a schedule and for having things that take care of the human being that are sacrosanct. Because otherwise, as you've noticed, conditioning will take it all.
You know, Sherry, I had that insight dropped in the other day when I was, is like, Laura, get a schedule. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So 5 days a week you meditate at whatever time, or you whatever it is that you do that takes care of you. Sounds like meditation is first on your list of the things that get taken away from you that actually take care of you, that bring you back to you. And then
that
you add
the
in the other thing.
Yep.
Let that be your life, and then whatever else there's time and space for, you need to do, you add those in.
See, it all seems so simple.
Well, it is, except
it is.
Conditioning makes it all terribly confusing.
Yeah. Well, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, keep in touch about it, okay? Because as we know, that's the only way it works. Because just as you're looking at all of this, conditioning is looking at all of this and figuring out the ways to get around it.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Thank you both.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, I was seeing a theme with the earlier callers of coming in with a particular issue or content, and then just applying practice and willingness and what we've seen and your guidance, and it can only be helpful, really.
Uh-huh. Yes. If what we want to do is end suffering.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the... You know, when I say things like that, people can go, well, yeah, of course that's what I want to do, but I, you know, it's not that easy. Well, actually, doing what we want to do is easy. It's actually what we are, you could almost say designed for. It's that we have to actually want what we say we want more than we want to go along with what the voices in our head want. And that's the tricky part.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that quote you said, that the insincere students cannot be helped and the sincere student cannot be stopped.
That's right. Yep.
Because once I'm sincere about it, then here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And until we reach that point, well, then we just know that we're going along and we haven't reached that point. No hard feelings.
Yes.
But we're always doing what we want to do. That's the important piece of it. We're always doing what we want to do.
Wow, that's big when we take that
in. It is big.
In.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's huge. Yeah,
yes.
Because people will say, but this is not what I want. Well, yeah, actually it is, because it's what we're choosing. It's that line in the short recitation that can upset people so much, right? If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. Well, that's true. It's just true. And only ego is going to want to whine and carry on about the fact that somebody has said that. Well, it's true. If my attention can be on one of two places, right, maintaining suffering or not suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Drew from Illinois.
Hello.
Hi, Drew.
Hello. I had a feeling I might get on. I was having so much in common with everybody that you've talked to so far that just had a feeling.
You knew you were next. All right.
and yet I'm not really prepared.
Well, that's good, though, because the truth of the matter is we can't ever prepare because we don't know what's going to happen. Right?
That's
so that's very good. You're here. I'm here. Michael's here. And a lot of people that, you know, we don't want to think about being here because it could make us nervous.
But
they're here. Yeah. We're glad they're here. And so now, here we are. What's going on?
Well, I guess I'll start with just, I've had this happen a few times now, and it's kind of funny. I wanted to make a gratitude call. It's probably been about 4 weeks ago, and this has happened a number of times over the years, and then I call in and I don't get through during the gratitude period, and then I move on into a where I'm not feeling quite as grateful in general, but
uh-huh.
I mean, the gratitude's still there. I took the Enneagram class and just really made some huge breakthroughs.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
And I've had a bit of a tough time since then, so I'm not feeling that burst of energy that I wished I'd be calling with. But
Well,
yeah, it's.
But that's the deal, isn't it? That's it. So you have a breakthrough, and what is conditioning going to do? Going to try to drag you back, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so we can kind of expect it, right? I've had a big breakthrough. I feel great. I'm really grateful you're kind of looking over your shoulder, right? Because you know conditioning is doing its Kato on top of the refrigerator thing, just waiting
right.
for you not to be paying
right.
attention so it can jump on you and grab you.
Yes, yes. And I've been around long enough to not be surprised by it anymore, but not so much that I don't get hooked. But that's part of the gratitude is I've never been sort of this far into the light room and the dark room, like where I'm still practicing, I'm still doing what I know what is good for me, and even though there's this, you know, pull back that, you know, a couple steps backward, I'm still sticking with it. I'm still making the phone call. I'm still sitting. I'm still, you know, participating
yeah.
in practice.
Exactly.
And so that's huge. Yeah.
And you're getting clearer and clearer about that process of what tries to pull you back,
yeah.
which is really,
yeah.
I would say, the whole point of practice. You know, of course we want to feel good. You know, we would be masochistic if we didn't, right? Of course we want to feel good. And of course it's wonderful when we do. But when we don't, that's when we're actually learning something. Right? Because,
yeah.
you know, it's not challenging to feel good. Yeah, everything is great.
Right.
I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. This is wonderful. And then the conditioning starts trying to pull me down, and I'm watching what it's doing. I'm hearing the conversation. I'm feeling the sensations in my body. I'm seeing how it's happening, and I'm still practicing, right? I'm staying
yes.
right there. I'm paying attention. Yeah, that's how
yep.
that's how you're spending more time in a much brighter room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a byproduct of that, I don't know, just kind of wrote in with that is one huge piece of my karma is I've talked before that I was involved in a cult when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it's used, my conditioning has used that so much against this practice. Against
yeah.
you. Against participating. And there
yeah.
I'm just, it's a little emotional. And I've never been able to break through that. I mean, because it hits hard. And this is the first time I've been able to see through it.
Uh-huh.
And
with
and
the
not
Enneagram. Uh-huh.
During the Enneagram class, and I can't put my finger on why that happened with that. It was,
mm-hmm.
it was sort of the other thing that was happening first. I was able to practice through, and that's probably what did it. But it just
mm-hmm.
it just all became clear that, no, that's not true. You know, this is a different experience. I'm choosing what I want today.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
I don't know if we've talked about this, but I would bet that at this point you can see that the cult is conditioning.
Can you,
explain
what I mean? That a little?
Well, what I just saw when you were talking about it is, the conditioning is what operates like a cult.
Yes.
Ego is the cult leader. You know, you can't listen to anybody else. You can't, you have to do what I say. If you don't do what I say, you're going to be punished.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever put my finger on that, but absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And not that same thing wasn't happening outside of you when you were a kid, because God knows enough people are caught in egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that it's not a surprise anywhere we see it. But to realize that the way it, the what's happening to us when we are in the grips of that is, we could say it's a fascist regime. We could say it's a cult. We could say, you know, it's sadistic. It, you know, a lot of labels that we could put on something where a person is controlled and tortured, manipulated. You know, sometimes we can't even see a why for it, you know. It seems like so much of that kind of cruelty is for its own sake, for the pleasure of the ones inflicting it.
Yeah.
That's big, huh?
It's really huge. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't think I can overstate it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the only advantage, Drew, that you have over a lot of people, I don't know, maybe this is irresponsible of me to say this to you, but you actually know the experience for what it is. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people are caught in the grip of a cruel, sadistic system and don't recognize it as that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had I've had many therapists over the years who ask me, because they've worked with other people in cults, and they ask me because they want to know, how did you get out? How did this happen? And I don't have an answer. But I just, you know, I'm just grateful.
Right.
So,
yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people who are, you know, going around in the world thinking that we're normal can be in the grip of an ego, a conditioning karma that is so cruel and controlling and manipulative and have no idea. Just think it's me. Just think it's how it is. It's just, there's nothing wrong. Yeah, I'm suffering, but, well, that's just how it is. So it's good because you certainly know what that is and you know what the difference is. You know what it feels like not to be in the grip of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. I'm glad. Makes me happy for you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Lots of gratitude.
Yeah. Take good care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Drew. I'm speechless, Sherry. I'm just speechless. Amazing conversation and an amazing show. And I feel very blessed to be a part of it all.
Me too, Michael. Me too. Are we at time?
We are a couple minutes before time.
All right. All right, then. Thank you very much for being here, as usual. And
my pleasure.
I think I get to see you in a little while. So there's that, too.
We'll look forward to it.
All right, me too. Take care,
Thank
Michael.
You, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.